In the name of Jesus, amen. King David, Shepherd David, the Virgin Mary, Mary, the mother of our Lord. These were not exactly people when you first met them in the Bible before those titles were attached to them. You thought they were favored by the world. They're not exactly people who had their name in lights. They're not among the elite of society. Remember, God took David from the filth of the shepherd's field. God took Mary, just another face in that small backwater town of Nazareth. David was the youngest of many brothers, and Mary was just a kid at her age. No power, no money, no influence, no royalty. Nothing about their person or what they had done at this point suggested that God would choose them for such an instrumental part in the divine plan of salvation. But our God, you must remember, is a God who makes things out of nothing. That which seems impossible to man, whatever that might be, is possible always with God. And so the Lord wanted David to understand something. He's like, basically, look, David, you don't make me a king among the people. I am going about making you one. It is not by your heart and by your works and by your faith and strength that I am God, the King of all creation. No, I have always been the King of all creation, and I always will be the King of all creation. David, you must understand, it is from my heart and my works and my will that I have made you king, that I have been with you all the days of your earthly life. I've been with you since you were a wee little shepherd boy, and I brought you up, and you slew Goliath with that one smooth stone. That I have cut down your enemies from before you as you went to various pagan nations. That I have made your name great in the ears of the people. And I promise you something even greater. I promise you that from your very own body will come a king whose kingdom will have no end. Yes, in the city of David, it will be said that a virgin will bear a son. And God will become man, and yet remain God at the same time, and save all that he has made. The Lord wanted Mary also to understand these points as well. That he was working through her and for her. So he sent her the messenger Gabriel. Do not be afraid, Mary, as you know, you have found grace, not favor, but grace with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name the child Jesus. As we know, naturally, Mary was puzzled and she was troubled. And so she asked the obvious question, since I'm a virgin, how will this be? She knows how babies are made. She knows that she's not been with a man. And so Gabriel continues, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy, the Son of God. In other words, Mary, this is not happening because you are purer than all other women. And no, after this miracle, men are not going to pray to you and me for their salvation. You have not been immaculately conceived as I will be, but your flesh I will use to be born into this world. Yes, men will forever call you, and the church will forever confess you to be what we say, the Theotokos, Theos, God, Tokos, to bear. God bearer. Mary bears God into the world. And this Mary consents to. She is the vessel by which this amazing miracle happens. And she treasures this and she ponders this in her heart. These marvelous truths that she cannot explain. And so God is a God that governs but by giving and by stooping low down to his creatures and condescending himself into their flesh that he might give them life. He rules from a meager manger and he will rule from a wooden beam. And none of us gets this, nor do we want to get this. We cringe at a God who comes so lowly and humble without boldness and might and strength. The humility of our God, I mean, being crucified and being born in a manger, oftentimes is seen as complete humiliation. For man wants a God that will fight amongst the great Greek pantheon of gods. And then David, he looks at the house of cedar that he's living in, this magnificent house. And it bothers him that obviously the Lord is living in a pop-up tent in the tabernacle, traveling tabernacle. And Mary is troubled and also puzzled at the same time that she shall house in her very flesh the Son of God. And so the lowly way that God comes to man, to us, often scandalizes us. That God must come to save us and that he lays aside his glory and that he comes to bear our sin and shame, that he gives up his Father's throne and hangs crucified on a tree. This causes both the reality of sheepishness, but also of awe and marveling. Because God works in ways that are completely contrary to man's reason. Think about this. God judges men in order to save them. God kills men in order to make them alive. God lays men low in order to raise them up. He comes for men who do not want to have anything to do with him and who rather love the darkness. And this is the divine plan. This is grace and mercy. That he leaves the power and the glory of his heavenly throne to dwell in and for man's flesh. To bear his sin in order to bring him life. He comes for the weak and the weary and the lowly. He comes to save us. He is David's son. And yet, at the same time, he is David's Lord. He says to David, essentially, I'm going to be part of your twisted family tree. I'm going to join your twisted family, and I'm going to be your son. And this, most notably, would have made David quite uncomfortable, bothered him, puzzled him, just like Mary was puzzled. But the Lord can't wait to come. He gladly comes to his people. He comes with a smile. This is the divine plan. This was meant before the foundations of the world that he would be incarnate by the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And so he is the obedient Son of the Father, this Jesus. This Jesus, the Son, loves his Father's children, and so he has And so he comes to save them. And so the Son of David and the Son of Mary has now become our brother. Jesus is our brother. He is on our side. He fights with us with all the good gifts of his kingdom and his mighty spirit. And though we may feel like nobody, going nowhere with nothing that anyone would care about, He has made us an heir of heaven. We have riches beyond compare that the world would drool over if they could only see what we had. He cuts off all of our giant Goliath enemies of sin and death and the devil and all the things that cause us so much affliction in this life. And most notably, this brother of ours gives us the family name. He gives us the Father's name so that we now can pray with our brother, our Father. The name by which all men will be saved, and apart from that name, no man will be saved. And these promises are true for David. And these promises come to fruition, they come to reality by way of the womb of Mary. For even as Jesus was conceived by the Word of God through the womb of Mary, so he is conceived by the Word of God, which is preached to you and you hear tonight in your very ears. You have found grace with God, just as Mary found grace with God. Just like Mary, you listen to and you treasure these mysterious yet wonderful things in your heart. You eat the flesh of the Virgin Mary, or you eat the flesh of the child born of the Virgin Mary, born to redeem you. You bear Jesus' name, his righteousness, his rule in your body and your soul. God's name is sealed upon your forehead and upon your heart by water and blood that spills from his side. This crucified Son of Mary, yet at the same time Mary's Lord. This means what? This means that when you face trouble in this life, when you face affliction in this life, when you face crosses in this life, Jesus is your brother. And he remains at your side, upon your lips and within your heart and mind. So when things are not going well, he is your God, a trusty shield and weapon. And when things are going well, he is still your God, a trusty shield and weapon. Which is to say, he is God for you in all things and at all times. You don't have to meet him halfway. Actually, you don't, and I don't. He comes all the way down to us. From heaven above to earth he comes. And from that highest place, he comes to our lowest place, and he plucks us from the vilest places that could ever be named. And he rescues us from the darkest places ever to be named. And he brings us into a manger, a cradle, a heaven of newborn light. This is why you can sing with Mary as she does in the great canticle of the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Why? For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God.